Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure for me to see you, even if you can't see me, and disappointing, but we'll do the best that we can. The parsha this week is Parshat Vayeshev, and introduces us to the story of Yosef. What I would like to discuss with you this evening, and have a chance to evaluate, are two images, themes, metaphors, words that we find in this parsha that I think teach us a very, very important lesson and show us some very important insights into Yosef, into the development of the story, and then ultimately into the Torah and into life itself. And specifically, I want to start by speaking about the image of clothing in the Yosef story. Clothing appears, words of clothing, images of clothing appear over and over again. And so when we meet Yosef in the beginning of the Parsha in Perek Lamed Zayin in Pasuk Gimel, we're told, V'Yisrael ahav et Yosef mikol banav, that Israel loved Yosef more than all of his other children. Ki ben zekunim hulo, he was the child of his old age, or other interpretations of that. V'yasa lo ketonet pasim, and he gives him this coat of many colors. This coat, of course, creates many difficulties and problems between Yosef and his between Yosef and his brothers. But I want to try to understand, what was the gift of this coat? Where did it come from? What was its purpose? And what role did it have in the development of Yosef's character? Just to quickly go through the story and point out the times in which these the idea of the clothes appear. If you have a chumash, please follow along. Otherwise, just listen. The coat of many colors presents itself once again in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23. Vayehi ka'asher ba Yosef el Achav. Yosef was sent by his father to check out his brothers, to see how they were doing, and they attack him. Vayashitu et Yosef, et kutanto, et ketonet ha-pasim asher alav. Now, the language, the clauses here are very interesting, because it doesn't just say that they stripped the coat off of Yosef, but by Yafshitu et Yosef, they stripped Yosef, et kutanto, his coat, et ketonet ha-pasim asher alav, the coat of many colors that was on him. So already we get a sense from the language that there's something else going on here. There's something else underlying the attack and the stripping of the coat and the meaning of that. So they take this coat, of course, and they dip it in. They dip it in blood. When that's Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31. Vayichu et ketonet Yosef. They took the coat of Yosef. Vayishchatu seir izim. They slaughter this animal. Vayitbelu et hakutonet badam. And they dip this coat into blood. And then verse 32. Vayishalchu et ketonet hapasim. They sent the coat, and they sent it to their father, and they said, "We found this. Haker not recognize it, identify it. Haketonet binchahi imlo, is this your son's coat or not?" The next verse, Vayakirahi identifies it. Vayomer ketonet bini, it is my son's coat. And then in Pasuk Lamedal, Yaakov tears his own clothes. It's interesting how this word, the term of ketonet, appears over and over again. We're certainly going to come back to this. In the very next parak, in the next chapter, we have the story of Yehuda and Tamar. And there, of course, clothing also plays an important role. After all, Tamar, after many years, gets dressed up in a costume. She pretends to be a prostitute, and she tricks Yehuda into thinking that she's a prostitute so that he would be with her. We turn to Parak Lamed Tet, to chapter 39. And here again, clothing plays an important role in Yosef's life. Yosef was taken down into Egypt, and Potiphar discovers him, and he sets him up as to run his household. And then in Parak Lamed Tet, chapter 39, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Vayikah Yom Hazeh, was on this day that Yosef comes into the house to do his work, and nobody else is there, verse 12, But the wife of Potiphar grabs him by the clothes, by Yosef's clothes, and she says to him, "Lie with me, Vayazov bigdo biyada, he leaves his garments, his clothes, in her hands. Verse 13. When he sees that he left the clothes, he runs away. And if you look carefully in verse 15, in verse 16, in verse 18 as well, we have the word beged, beged, beged. The word clothing is repeated over and over again. So we have so far three major events that of Yosef's life that are shared with us, and they all surround clothing. The Ketonet Pasim, the coat of many colors, the story of Yehuda and Tamar, where clothing is important, the clothing of Yosef when he is in Potiphar's house and he has this experience, with her. And then, of course, much later on, when after having resolved and interpreted the dreams of the baker and of the wine steward, he's taken out of prison in order to interpret the dream of Paro. And in Perek Mem Aleph, chapter 41, in verse 14, Pharaoh sends for him, and they take him out of the pit, out of jail. Vayigalach, he shaves. Vayichalef simotav, he changes his clothes. And then, towards the end of the Perek, when he's after the interpretation of the dreams, and he's appointed by Paro as the second in command, in verse 42, Paro removes his ring, and he gives it to Yosef. Vayalbesh oto bigdei sheish, he dresses him up in all this fine clothing. He is now royalty. Story uncovers. The brothers come down. They don't recognize Yosef. Yosef eventually reveals himself. And at the end, in Perek Mem Hei, this is chapter 45, in Pasuk Chav Bet, in Pasuk 22, L'chulam natan le'ish halifot smalot. Yosef gives changes of clothing, one change of clothing to each of his brothers. U'levinyamin natan shalosh mei kesef, he gives 300 silver pieces. V'chamesh halifot smalot, and five changes of clothes. This, of course, is difficult. I mean, the whole problem came because Yosef himself was favored by his father and got a coat that his brothers didn't get. It seems that Yosef here was repeating the same mistake, and that deserves some of our attention as well. So it's obvious from all of this, and this very quick overview that we've seen, that clothing plays a very, very important role in the life of Yosef, as it did even beforehand. So think back to Yaakov getting dressed up in the clothes of Esav and the role that clothes played there. So what is going on with, as Jerry Seinfeld would say, what's this with the clothes? What's going on here? So I want to return, I want to spend time talking about that. Before I do, though, I want to speak about one other term and one other issue, and we'll see how they both relate. And that is the issue of hakara, of recognition, of acknowledgement, of identification. To be able to identify something for what it is, or a person for who he or she is. And in fact, we have this word that appears a number of times in the parsha. And so, if you look, for example, right in Perek Lamed Zion, in chapter 37. After Yosef, after they took the coat and they dipped it into blood, they bring it back to Yaakov Avinu, and in Pasuk Lamed Bet and Lamed Gimel, in verses 32 and 33, in chapter 37, Vayishalchu et ketonet hapasim, they sent the coat, they brought it to their father, and they said to him, Zot matzanu, this coat we found, hakerna, identify it, recognize it, tell us whose coat this is this your son's coat or not? And then in verse 33, Vayakira, and he identifies it. He recognizes it. The idea of recognition, and of course, he recognized it. It was Yosef's coat, but he misinterpreted it. He didn't understand what it was really all about. He thought that it meant that Yosef was dead. In chapter 34, in verse 15, when Yehuda sees Tamar, Vayir'eha Yehuda, Vayachsheveha lezona, ki kista panaha. He misidentifies her as a prostitute because of the way that she was, dressed. Finally, at the end of that chapter, Tamar is pregnant. Yehuda wants to have her put to death and punished for what she did wrong. Chapter 38, the end of Pasuk Chafei, the end of Pasuk 25. Right, Vatomer, she holds up the objects that he gave her as collateral, and she says Hakerna, the same language, identify this. Whose are these? Identify them. And then in Pasuk Chavav in 26, Vayakir Yehuda, Yehuda identifies them. He recognizes them and he identifies them. And just one more place in which these terms are used very importantly. The brothers come down to Egypt, and here we have chapter 44, Perek Mem Bet, Pasuk Zion and Chet, verses 7 and 8. Yosef saw his brothers, Vayakirem. He identifies them, he recognizes them. But he made himself strange to them, and he speaks harshly to them. And then verse 8, Vayakir Yosef at Achav, Yosef identifies, he recognizes his brothers, Ehem lo hikiruhu, but they did not recognize him. So essentially what we've seen very, very quickly are what I think are two major themes or motifs that are running through this week's Parsha and really the whole Yosef story, that of clothing and recognition, of identification. Now, what are clothes about? Let's take a step back and just ask a more global question. What are clothes about? What's going on here? What are the concerns? What role do they play in the Parsha? And what role do they play in general? So clothing can do a number of things. We first meet clothes all the way back in the beginning of Bereshit. Adam and Chava ate the fruit. They've committed the sin. They're now embarrassed, and they need to cover themselves. So clothes play important function in terms of modesty, in terms of protecting oneself from one's modesty, one's privacy. Clothes can provide protection from the elements. Clothes can symbolize a person's status in life. The waiter wears a tuxedo at a fancy party, and you know who he is. King wears certain garments. Bnei Torah wear certain clothes, and therefore they're identified by them. What's interesting about clothes, and here pay very careful attention to the language. We are using we had a number of terms that we use for clothes. One is beged. Another term that is used is simla. Another term is mi'il. And another term is ksut. Those are probably the four major terms that are used with regard to clothing. The Malbim, in his commentary in Sefer Vayikra, in Parakeh, in the fifth chapter, on Pasuk Tedvav, on verse 15, makes a very interesting comment. The Torah there in Vayikra speaks about the prohibition and the consequences of Me'ila, Mem Ayin Yud Lamed Hei. Me'ila is when a person steals from Hekdesh, when he takes holy property and misappropriates it and uses it for a purpose other than for which it is designated. That is the prohibition of Me'ila. Commenting on that verse, the Malbim first quotes the Ibn Ezra and then makes the very interesting observation that the word Me'ila, which means misusing or treachery, is the same word as mi'il, which means garment. He also observes that a synonym of mi'ila, of treachery, is the word bigida, bet gimel yud dalet hey, and a bogate or bigida is also a word that means betrayal or treason or disloyalty. So you wind up with two major words that refer to clothing, beged and mi'il, that also are used to describe treachery and betrayal, bigida and mi'ila. Writes the Malbim in his commentary in Vayikra and Perikhei, he says, as he points out this connection, and he says as follows, and I'll just translate it for you as I look at it in the Hebrew. The reason for these connections is that just as a beged, just as clothing covers up a human being, so that people should not see him, and so his body is covered, so too a bogate, somebody who is disloyal, who is betrayal, who is treacherous, wants to cover up his treachery and hide it from his friend. So beged is a sense, in clothing is a sense of hiding, and begidah in treachery means I'm going to behave in an underhanded, in a quiet, in a stealthy manner, so that what I do will not be seen by those that I want to hurt. writes the Malbim, Yitzva'eh ka'ohev, v'tachtav eva. I appear to be an ohev, a friend, a good guy, and in fact, really, just underneath the surface, there's really eva, there's enmity, there's hatred, and there's disloyalty. So there's a cover-up, the idea of cover-up. And Mi'il, he says, is a similar kind of thing. The Mi'il, the coat, is used as a covering, and the Mi'il, the coat, is used as a covering, and Mi'ilah as well, the treachery is also used to cover up my evil intentions. He makes a distinction between the two. The beged, he says, is the undergarment, is the inner garment, and the me'il is like a coat that you wear outside. You wear as a top, as a top garment. And without going through all the details, he applies these to the difference between begidah and me'ilah. The begidah, as we said, is stealth, and me'ilah is just, it's in the headlines. People hear about it, people know about it, people understand it. What's interesting that the Gemara in Sanhedrin also seems to make the same kind of observation. And this goes back to the story of Yaakov getting dressed up in the clothes of Esav in order to trick Yitzchak and to steal the blessing from his brother. And we're told that he gets dressed up like Esav. He wears Esav's clothing. I'm going to come back to that in a couple of minutes, what exactly that clothing was. But says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zion Amid Aleph, Rabbi Zera Amar, Vayarach et Reach Begadav, that Yitzchak smelled the reach, the aroma, the fragrance of Bigadav, of his clothing. Al tikre Bigadav, don't read the word as Bigadav, his clothing, Ela Bogadav, his treachery. So Chazal themselves understood that clothing can be worn as a costume, as a cover-up, as a way of tricking, somebody else, of misrepresentation, of masking what the reality actually is. Very interesting comment made by William Thackeray, the 19th century English novelist, in his book Paris Sketchbook from 1840. And he writes here about Louis XIV. Writes Thackeray, "But a king is not every inch a king, for all the poet may say, and it is curious to see how much precise majesty there is in that majestic figure of Ludovicus Rex." In other words, Louis XIV is a monarch, but he's really not such a king. Why? "The idea of kingly dignity is equally strong in the two outer figures, and you see at once that majesty is made out of the wig, the high-heeled shoes, and cloak, and fleur-de-lis bespangled. As for the little, lean, shriveled, paunchy old man of 5 feet two in a jacket and breeches, there is no majesty in him at any rate, and yet he has just stepped out of that very suit of clothes. Put the wig and shoes on him, and he is 6 feet high. The other fripperies, and he stands before you majestic, imperial, and heroic. Thus do barbers and cobblers make the gods that we worship. For do we not all worship him? Yes, though we all know him to be stupid, heartless, short, of doubtless personal courage, worship and admire him we must, and have set up in our hearts a grand image of him, endowed with wit, magnanimity, valor, and enormous heroical stature." So in other words, you put on the costume, and all of a sudden he's a king. He's really a nothing, and he's a nobody, but you put on the costume, you put on the crown, the wig, the shoes, and he becomes he is transformed. This is bigidah. This is the treachery that clothing can bring. This is the me'ilah, the treachery that a me'il can bring as well. Now let's not be too cynical, because clothing can also be glorious. So we know, for example, that when the Kohen was given clothing to wear, it was done l'chavod ulatif aret, for his honor and for his splendor. The clothing can reflect the goodness and the inner beauty of an individual. Or, for example, the Gemara in Shabbat, in Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, when it speaks about the obligation of Kvod Shabbat, of honoring Shabbos in many different ways, and based on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, V'chibadato me'asot t'rachecha, you have to honor Shabbos by refraining from your work, V'chibadato, and you have to honor so to honor it. Shalom Yehei Malbushcha Shal Shabbat K'malbushcha Shal Chol, that your Shabbos dress should not be the same as your weekday dress. V'chihad Rabbi Yochanan Kari Lemane Mechabdotai, that Rabbi Yochanan referred to his clothing as that which honors me, that which brings me kavod. So there's something very important and something uplifting about clothing when it is used properly. And interestingly, I think this goes back to a machloket in the Medrash in Breishit Rabbah, Parsha Chaf. We know that after Adam and Chava sinned, and we had mentioned them before, we mentioned before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes them clothes. And the pasuk there says, "Vayas Hashem Elokim la'Adam u'l'Ishto katnot or," that God made for man and for his wife these garments of or, ayin vav resh, these garments of leather, whether they were animal skins or they were made out of their fingernails or whatever it may be. There's all kinds of discussions with regard to that. And he dressed them in these clothes. Says the Medrash, "B'torato shel Rabbi Meir, matzu katuv," when in the Sefer Torah of Rabbi Meir, it was found written, "Kotnot or," these were clothes not of or, ayin vav resh, of leather or of animal skins, but these were kotnot or aleph vav resh, these were clothes of light. Very interesting. Very interesting. What I think Rabbi Meir is hinting to us, and what this machloket is hinting to us, is that clothes can either be the purely mundane, the purely physical, which can lead to cover-up and begida and mi'ilah, as we've discussed, or they can be clothing of or, of an aleph, of light, that reflect the inner beauty, the inner inspiration, the inner glory of the individuals who were involved. That's the question. The clothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava, were they merely to cover up the sin that had been, as a result of the sin that had been committed, or were they something more glorious and more positive and more inspiration, more inspirational? And that's the machloket between the two. Now, how does all of this reflect and find itself expressed in the life of Yosef and the story in this week's parsha? Yaakov Avinu, Yosef's father, gives him this ketonet pasim, gives him this coat of many colors, as we often translate it. What was the purpose of this coat? It was more than just giving him a gift. I mean, if he wanted to give him just a gift, he could have given him an Xbox or an iPod or who knows what kind of gift that a young adolescent would have appreciated even more. But he gives him this coat. Where did it come from, and what is this about? And even though the pasuk seems to indicate ba'asalo ketonet pasim, that he made this coat for him as if it was something that had been newly commissioned and just brought into the world, in fact, there are various midrashim that tell us that this coat actually was very, very old, and that it goes back to the coat, the clothing, to the ketonet that was made, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava. It's interesting. That word ketonet is found in the Chumash in three places. The kotnot or, the clothing, the coat of or, of light, or of animal skins, or of leather, that were made for Adam and Chava. The ketonet that was made for the, that was obligated, was commanded to be made for the Kohen Gadol. And here, the coat that is being given to, being given to Yosef. Later on in the Navi, we see that Tamar, the daughter of David HaMelech, is also wearing a ketonet pasim. So it's a sign of malchus, of distinction, of place in society. Says the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in Perech of Dalid, the ketonet, the garment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and for Chava, was passed on from generation to generation, from parent to child, and was brought into the Teva, into the Ark, with Noach. According to one version of the Medrash, it goes from Noach to his son Shet. According to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it goes from Noach to his son Ham. And according to the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Ham then passes this coat on to Nimrod, right? This the king from the days of Abraham Avinu. and Nimrod and Nimrod wore it. Now, what happens after Nimrod got his hands on it? So says the Pirkei Rebbe, the Pirkei Rebbe Eliezer. Actually, I'm sorry, the Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma in Parsha Toldot in Siman Yud Bet. That Esav got word that Nimrod had this coat. And this coat had all kinds of magical powers. People were afraid of him, and animals were afraid of him, and all kinds of things. And he desired this coat. The word that the Medrash uses is Hamad Chet Mem Dalid. As a matter of fact, this coat and the clothing that Esav wears, that Yaakov gets dressed in Bereishit Perek Chav Zayin, chapter 27, Pasuk Tedvav, chapter verse 15, it says, "Vatikach Rivka et Bidei Esav Bina Hagadol HaChamudot." So Chamudot either can mean the desirable ones, or it could be those, I mean, the good ones, the very fancy ones, or it could be those that were desired. That Esav had such a desire for this coat of that Nimrod had, that he went out and he stole it. But not only did he steal it, actually killed Nimrod for it. And that's the Medrash that tells us the day that that Yaakov was making that pot of beans, and he buys the Bechora, the rights of the firstborn from his brother, that in fact Nimrod that Esav had just returned from the field after committing murder, after killing Nimrod. So we wind up with this coat, this very special coat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava, that was passed from generation to generation, from parent to child, through Noach, through Shet, or through Ham, depending upon the which Medrash you want to follow, to Yaakov Avinu, and then from Yaakov Avinu it was given to Yosef. So it wasn't a new coat, it was this old coat. Says the Medrash Tanchuma, what is the meaning and the symbol of this coat? It says that these are big day kohuna gedola. These are the coats this is the coat or the garment of the high priest. That Adam was the high priest of his family, being the firstborn. And the firstborn in each family, of course, was the high priest before the Levium and before Aaron HaKohen eventually will be appointed many, many years later. And this was a symbol of leadership. This was a symbol of responsibility. This was a symbol of spiritual greatness. Further proof that the Medrash brings, or that the Medrash was sensitive to, is the pasuk that when Yaakov comes to appear before Yitzchak dressed in Esav's clothing. It says Vayigash Vayishaklo, that Yaakov drew near, that Yitzchak kissed him. Vayarach et reach begadav, he smelled the fragrance of his clothes. Vayivarcheu, and he blessed him. And says Yitzchak, Re'ei reach b'ni, behold, the aroma, the smell of my son, kereach sadeh asher beracho Hashem, is the smell, the aroma of the field which God has blessed. What field has God blessed? What is the sadeh that God has blessed? So says Rashi, that the fragrance, the aroma of Gan Eden, of the Garden of Eden, entered with him. So that can be understood in a spiritual sense. It could also be supported as Medrash, that it was the Reach of Gan Eden given to Adam and Chava at the time of Gan Eden and passed on from generation to generation. So that's the clothing, that's the garment that Yosef was given. But what's the problem with it? What was going on? And the problem is that it didn't fit. The problem is that Yosef, at a young age, when he was 17 years old at this time, had not developed into a Kohen Gadol. He had not developed into the spiritual leader of his family. He had not developed into a person who could represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who would represent spirituality, and represent all that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, was supposed to represent. So it didn't quite fit him. And it led to arrogance, and it led to the tensions between Yosef and his brothers. He got dressed up, and he was playing a part, but it wasn't representative of who and what he really was. And that explains, if we remember the Pasuk, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, chapter 37, verse 23, when they came to Yosef and they attack him to strip off the coat, Vayashitu et Yosef, they stripped Yosef, et kutanto, his coat, et ketoret hapasim, the coat of many colors, asher lav, that was on him. They stripped him of it. That wasn't just they took the coat off of his back, but it was they stripped him of it. They got rid of the gidah, the treachery, of the misrepresentation that was taking place. They remove the arrogance and the false sense of self and a place that wearing this coat happened to represent. This story repeats itself over and over again in the life of Yosef. He wears the coat of many colors. It doesn't fit metaphorically. He is stripped of it. He's thrown into the pit, naked, stripped of all pretense, of all phoniness. He then comes into the house of Potiphar, and again he's wearing new clothes. He's wearing the clothes of an important person who's running the household, who has responsibility for the household. Potiphar trusted him, and once again he didn't live up to his calling. The clothes didn't fit. His machloket, of course, is when he goes into the house la'asot malachto to do his work. Did it mean that he was going to balance the books or dust the shelves, or did it mean that he was going to pitch his woo and be inappropriate, whatever it may be? But he is stripped once again of the facade. He's stripped of the mask and the treachery that all of that represents. What's fascinating about it is that if you look at the psukim, which describe this encounter with the wife of Potiphar in Paraklamet Tet, in chapter 39, starting with Pasuk Yud Aleph 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, the word beged is used six times. It's repeated over and over and over again. And you could now, understanding what this the etymology of the word is, we could interpret the verse Vatit Pesehu Bevigdo, that she grabbed him by his bigdo, his garment, or she grabbed him bevigdo with his treachery. V'yazov bigdo biyada, and he's stripped of that, and once again he is thrown into the pit. The story repeats itself. He is made naked again, he's thrown back into the pit, and he has to go through a transformation, a process of transformation, in order to become the Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef the righteous one, that he was always meant to be, that he was supposed to be, and that he ultimately becomes. So this is the idea of clothes. What's very fascinating about this, I mentioned before that after the brothers come, he gives them smalot. The word simla doesn't seem to have this negative connotation. It's not beged is begida, be'il is begida. Suit is also a form of covering up. Simla doesn't seem to have this image. And in fact, when the brothers finally come and there is reconciliation between them, he gives them gifts of smalot. There's no more misunderstanding. There's no more sense that anything is wrong between the relationships. No beged, no me'il, but rather we have simla. And what we have is all the brothers getting one change of clothes, except for Binyamin, who was given five. Why was he given five? So Chazal tell us that in fact this was a remez. This was a hint that in the future, Binyamin is going to have a descendant whose name is Mordechai, and Mordechai is going to wear these various changes of clothing. And if you look in, if you think about the story of Esther, the Megillat Esther, again the image of clothing and dressing up and appearing to not to be Jewish, appearing to be other than one is, or clothing being used where the king's clothes is a form of kavod, riding around on the horse, but in fact he's really not the king, etc., etc. Until the climax of the story, where the Megillah tells us, "Umordechai yatzam lifnei hamelach b'levush malchut techelet v'chorav ateret zahav gedolah," etc., etc. Mordechai finally wears the clothes that he is deserving. The clothes aren't put on him; clothes that are not deserved or that misrepresent, but they're clothes that are deserving of him because of his accomplishments. Interesting, the Sfat Emek, the Gerer Rebbe, makes the observation with regard to that the changing of garments, the five garments of Binyamin that were really foreshadowing the garments and the changes of clothing of his descendant Mordechai, really become the motivation, the reason behind our practice of dressing up, of wearing costumes on the holiday of Purim itself. And it's a way of hiding, the Hester Panim, the God's hiddenness, the hiddenness of identity with regard to Purim. But it's also a way of people trying to bring about the Geula, to bring about redemption for the people, for the nation, but to bring about personal redemption, that you have to try on different clothes. You have to try on different self-images. You have to try on different kinds of interactions with the world and dreams about who you are and what you are and what you want to accomplish until you finally find the right garment that fits, until you find the garment that is that is you. So you have this real sense of self-awareness. Now, Ad Kan, that's the first part of the discussion with regard to what clothing is and the role that clothing plays in the life of Yosef and in the unfolding of his story of Begidah, of Me'ilah, the treachery, of the misrepresentation. So ultimately, there's a sense of who gets the garment that is supposed to be really representative of who and what he is. In the introduction, also mentioned that I wanted to look at the word or the idea of hakara, of identity, of identifying. And we saw that Yaakov misidentified the coat, the bloody coat, thinking that his son was dead. And the word there, the brothers, they say to him, hakerna, identify this, recognize this. How Yehuda misidentifies Tamar as a prostitute. Ultimately, the same term, hakerna, identify it, and he steps up to the plate and identifies what is his. The brothers who didn't recognize Yosef, who recognizes his brothers. Now, the idea of hakara, being able to identify something properly, is very important. Halachically, of course, think back to the early days of Gemara when you learned the parak in Bava Metzia of Elu Metziot, and we look for a siman, you look for some kind of identifying mark. And if there is a siman that could be identified, then there's an obligation to return it, or a person has a claim, the owner has a claim that this is mine. Without the identifying mark, then there is no claim. It's very significant and very important in the case of an aguna. If a corpse is found, it's got to be identified. Who is this person who is dead? And by identifying him properly, we can then release his wife and allow her to remarry, should she so desire. And the Gemara and the Poskim spent a lot of time saying, what are the simanim? What are the identifying marks that will be acceptable or not acceptable? What if the facial features are not intact? So if there's a scar, if there's a mole, if there's a certain funny shape of the nose, clothing may or may not be acceptable. Discussion today with regard to DNA, whether DNA is acceptable in a Beit Din with regard to these things. So all those questions are important, but in terms of hakara, of interpreting and identifying so that we can move forward. But as we see in the stories of Yosef, starting with Yaakov and Yaakov being misidentified, and Rachel and Leah and Leah being misidentified, and time and time again, there is this whole comedy of errors in which people are being misidentified, and there are consequences as a result of this misidentification. It goes to the fundamental issue that a person has to understand who he is and what he is, what his kochot, what his talents are, what his potential is, the things that he is destined to do in his life, and not to do those things which he is not destined to do, or to recognize those potentials in other people, to understand who they are and what they are. And what's actually fascinating about this idea of identification and misidentification, interpretation and misinterpretation, understanding and misunderstanding, are very fundamental in the words themselves. If you think especially about that pasuk when the brothers first appear before Yosef, and he recognizes them and they don't recognize him. Right? The pasuk says in Perek Mem Bet, pasuk Chet, Vayakir Yosef et Ahav, he recognizes them, he identifies them, he understands them. Vehein lo hikiruhu, they did not identify him. The standard interpretation of Chazal is because now he had a beard and didn't have a beard when he first was sent down to Egypt. Another one of the Forshim points out that he was now wearing clothing they didn't expect him to wear. Right? When they saw him, he was naked. And now he's wearing the clothes of Malchus, the clothes of the monarchy of aristocracy. But what's very fascinating is the word of recognition is hikir, or hakara. And the shoresh, the root of this word, the three-letter root of the word, is nun, chaf, resh. The nun falls out, and this is not a shiur in grammar, so we're not going to go in that direction. But nun, chaf, resh, is knowledge, is recognition, and in the hifil, it's the word hikir, the noun hakara. What's also fascinating is the same shoresh, the same three letters, nun, chaf, resh, when used in the heat pa'el, for example, heat not care, means to make strange, means not to know, to be alienated from. Niker and the pi'el are all, when these things are strange. As a matter of fact, the word for a stranger in Hebrew, number of words for stranger, but nun chaf resh yud, nochri, nochri is a stranger. So here you have the same shoresh, the very same root, and it means itself, and it means its opposite as well. Absolutely fascinating. How can this be that the same word means itself and means its opposite? So one could argue, perhaps explain, that in fact lahakir means to be able to distinguish, to be able to identify either as somebody that I know, or to identify as somebody that I don't know, to be able to label, to be able to properly categorize is probably what this word means. And sometimes when I categorize it, and I define it, and I explain it, there's an intimate personal knowledge, or there's an awareness that I have no intimate personal knowledge of this, and therefore it is strange to me. But what's fascinating about this is the fact that these two terms come from the very same shoresh, from the very same root, show how very close awareness and lack of awareness, understanding and misunderstanding actually are. It's a very, very fine line between them. And while that's true of other people, the brothers didn't, they didn't recognize, they didn't understand Yosef. Certainly not when he was dressed up as the king of Egypt, but even as their young brother, they didn't understand him. They didn't recognize him for what he was. They couldn't understand what the dreams were about. They couldn't see his potential. And because of that misinterpretation, he was estranged from them, and the story develops as it does. I would venture to say that Yosef himself also didn't understand who he was yet. He had to grow into his clothes, he had to grow into his person, he had to grow into his potential, he had to develop over a period of time, which is what all those ups and downs of in jail, out of jail, in the pit, out of the pit, up and down, was really all about. So in fact, what we have then is the same, that these two motifs in the Parsha and in the story of Yosef, that of clothing and the use of clothing and of costuming and of begidah and ne'ilah, of treachery, of misunderstanding, is very significant, and that of hakara, being able to identify and define as opposed to misidentify and misdefine. And that's what the struggle of Yosef is. And Yosef becomes the Yosef HaTzadik. He becomes the righteous one. He becomes the leader. He becomes the savior of Klal Yisrael at this point, because ultimately he's able to find the clothes that fit just right, that are appropriate for him. And ultimately he's able to identify who he is, what his brothers were all about, what the story is all about, and rise to that occasion. One other comment that I'd like to make, and we'll bring our discussion to a close. Medrash Tanchuma, in Parshat by Yigash, Simon Yud Aleph, tells us, Bo or A, come and see, Koma she'ira le'Yosef, ira le'Tzion. Whatever happened to Yosef, happened to Tzion, to Israel, to Yerushalayim, happened to the Jewish people as well. And the Medrash there goes, 20 different psukim, 25 different psukim, in which the pasuk refers to the pasuk from Bereishit, which refers to Yosef, and then a pasuk from somewhere in the Navi or Tehillim or some other place which refers to Yerushalayim, where very similar kinds of things are taking place. So, for example, I won't go through all of them, but when the pasuk says Yisrael ahavet Yosef, Israel Yaakov loved Yosef. So the pasuk says in Tehillim, Perek Pei Zayin, pasuk Bet, Ahav Hashem Kol Sharei Tzion. Hashem loves Zion, loves Yerushalayim. With regard to Yosef, it says, Vayisne'u Oto, they hated him. And the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Parak Yudbet, that in fact the nations hated Yerushalayim and hated the Jewish people. It says, for example, the brothers said to him, Hamaloch Tim Lochalen, will you make yourself king over us? And with regard to Zion and Yeshayahu, it says, Omer Zion, Malach Elokayich, the word Melech is being used with regard to that. Yosef dreams, and the Pasuk says about Zion, B'shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, Hayinu Tichomim, we were like dreamers. And over and over and over again, the same kind of story is played out. So that Yosef really becomes, and his life and his story become a metaphor, a prototype for Eretz Yisrael, for Yerushalayim, for the Jewish people. What's important, and the reason I'm mentioning this, is that when the Pasuk says that Paro dressed Yosef, Vayabesho to Bidei Sheish, he puts him in these royal garments, the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Nun Bet, Pasuk Aleph, Uri, Uri, Livshi, Uzech Tzion. Arise, arise, wear your garment of strength, O Zion. That the idea of clothing becomes significant and becomes important here, and becomes important here as well. Now, I'd like to refer to yet another pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Samach Aleph, chapter 61, Psukim Chet Tet and Yud 8, 9, and 10. And here we will see the image of clothing being used, and here we will also see the word of hakara, of recognition and acknowledgement being used as well. Says Yeshayahu in Perek Samach Aleph, Ki ani Hashem, ohev mishpat, I am God who loves justice. Sonei gazel ba'ola, I hate robbery and treachery when it comes to my karbanot, to my sacrifices. V'natati pu'ulatam ve'emet, and I will give them the reward and truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Pasuk tet, v'noda ba'goyim zaram, and their seed, the seed of the Jewish people, shall be made known amongst the nations of the world. And their descendants amongst the nations, amongst the people, all those who see the Jewish people, yakirum, will acknowledge them, will identify them, will be able to understand who they are, ki hein zera beirach Hashem, that they are the seed which Hashem has blessed. So ultimately, in Yeshayahu's messianic vision, there's going to come a time when the Jewish people will be understood and recognized for what we are supposed to be. People of honesty, people of integrity, ohev mishpat, sonei gazel ba'ola, pu'ulatam be'emet, that we are become the really the moral compass, the moral exemplars, the ethical exemplars of the to the entire world, that we become representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the nations of the world are going to understand that and recognize that. We're no longer going to be misunderstood, misinterpreted as all the anti-Semitic stereotypes that we can think about with regard to our history. And then Pasuk Yud follows. So sasis Hashem, I will greatly rejoice in God. Tagel nafshi belokai, my soul will rejoice in my God. Ki hilbishani bigdei yesha, because he has clothed me with clothes of righteousness. Me'il tzedakaya atani, he has covered me with a robe of righteousness. Bigdei yesha, the clothes of salvation. Me'il tzedakaya atani, the garment of the cloak of righteousness, he will cover me with. Tichatanya chahen pe'er, tichakala tadech e'raha, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. These two ideas that we see, that I'm suggesting, run through the parsha and run through the story of Yosef HaTzadik, are found here as well. That ultimately, just as we, the Jewish people, through our history, try on different clothes, present ourselves to the world in many, many different ways, present ourselves to ourselves in the way we organize ourselves, the way we live in community, the way we observe, the way we live individually as Jews, try on all kinds of garments, and some fit better and some fit worse. But the glove never quite fit. What they say with regard to OJ, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. The clothes never quite fit. And it's only at the time of the Geula, at the time of the redemption, that ultimately we will wear the Bigdei Yesha, the clothes of salvation, the clothes of redemption, because Rakirum, we will understand ourselves, and we will be understood by others. We'll be identified for who and what we really are. So with this, the Psukim and the Medrash really take the story of Yosef and bring it to a whole new level, to a whole higher understanding of what it means to develop into the tzaddik that Yosef became and the tzaddikim that we are supposed to be, that we are supposed to become. It means trying on different masks. It means trying on different clothes. It means doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. So ultimately, we find the right clothes that fit, as Yosef found the clothes that fit him, and we are identified and understood for who we really are. Anyway, that's what I wanted to share with you this evening. I thank you so much for joining me. I'm very sorry that the images and the video didn't work. It would have been nice to have seen more of you. But I hope that this has been meaningful to you, and look forward to other opportunities to share Torah as well. Thank you.